Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
077-66-105-105. Now, a leading childcare organisation is calling for what they describe as an urgent package of support to help the sector, really, to help in childcare. And they say it is in crisis. We're talking about employers for childcare, and they're warning us that many childcare providers are considering raising fees by 10% from April. I want to speak to Aoife Hamilton from Employers for Childcare. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Might be worth just reminding us what Employers for Childcare do as a lobby group, just briefly.
Certainly. So we would campaign on issues that affect parents, childcare providers and employers. And one of the things that we've been calling for is a new early learning and childcare strategy. Thankfully, that's underway. But at the moment, the focus of our work is calling for immediate, urgent financial support for the childcare sector because of the crisis it's facing at present due to those rising costs which are having to be passed on to parents, which in turn is impacting then on our economy if parents aren't able to afford the childcare they need to work.
So you're representing the employer, you're representing the childcare provider and the parent, because many parents would see it as us against them, us being the parents and them being the childcare providers who can charge incredibly high tariffs for looking after your children.
You know, actually, the message we get from parents is they understand that this is an organisation, the childcare provider, that has to charge a certain fee in order to provide the really high quality and safe care that the parents rely on. Parents like us recognise that childcare, it's not an option, it's critical infrastructure that lets them and others go to work. So they appreciate that when costs go up for providers, that's something that's going to be passed on to them unless we see the government really valuing the sector the way it needs to, stepping in and investing in our childcare infrastructure. That's what we're calling for.
That's not going to stop a 10% increase in April, so it isn't.
It unfortunately isn't. And we're hearing that from parents and from providers. And that 10%, it could be more in some places as well. It will vary according to setting and across Northern Ireland. And it's simply not sustainable. You know, my team spoke with a parent on a waiting list for a nursery place for twins and an older child. They've been quoted £125 a day for their three children, and mum's take-home pay is £110 a day. Those are the kind of sums that simply don't add up to parents being able to remain in the workplace. And that's why this is an issue that's it's affecting people now, and we need to see action now before these critical services are simply not there for us.
What is the breakdown in relation to the availability of childcare facilities for working parents versus parents who may not be working or who may not have an income that would allow them to pay for childcare? There seems to be a lot of rivalry and anger between working parents against parents who may be on benefits, or even working parents on benefits against parents who would be on no benefits whatsoever.
There can be a lot of misunderstanding there, Frank. You know, you're right to raise that. And often, you know, we would hear people talking about parents on benefits. Many of people who are receiving support through the likes of universal credit, through tax credits, are working. The financial support that's available for registered childcare costs is only available to those parents who are in work. So it's important that people are aware of that. What we want to see is childcare that's available, accessible and affordable to everyone, because not only does that help parents who are in work, It helps those who are maybe trying to get into work or who are accessing higher or further education. But it's also good for every child. So we don't want to see anybody unable to benefit from this critical infrastructure.
Some people do argue, they phone this programme and they talk to me about not being able to get their child into a certain place, but the parent with who isn't working, the parent who is on the benefits, can get their child in much easier. What's the layout of the land around that?
So this would be in terms of preschool places, which aren't actually childcare. Now, they may be part of the jigsaw that parents use to make up their childcare needs, but that would be the preschool places. And in September of last year, actually, then Education Minister Michelle McElveen announced that there is going to be a standardisation of the preschool system. So we do expect to see further announcements and further developments in that area. But if anybody is struggling to access childcare or just wants to talk through the options for themselves, they're very welcome to call our helpline. It's 0800 028 3008, and one of our advisors can talk them through all of their options.
Yeah, you say that isn't part of childcare, but are the waters not muddied there? Because if you can't get your child into a preschool place, then you need more childcare for your particular youngster.
Absolutely. It's part of the mix. And we know that parents, they've become very adept and very skilled at piecing together all that they possibly can access, you know, to make up their childcare needs. We speak to parents who are using informal childcare, so grandparents and other family members, school, preschool, as well as formal childcare. And part of this is because we don't have the investment in a system that always enables parents to afford and access the registered childcare that they need. So that's why we really do want to see investment that that means parents aren't struggling to access and afford this critical infrastructure.
And how would that investment manifest itself? If the lady you made reference to, who's spending £100 a day having her children looked after, and she's only earning £100 a day in her work, how would the government help that woman?
Well, what we want to see is, firstly, ambitious financial support funneled directly into the childcare sector that enables this sector to be sustainable, to be high quality, and to reduce fees for parents at source so that every parent can afford the childcare that they need. So that's a really important step that needs to be taken. We do also know there is existing financial support there for parents who are working, and we would encourage every parent to call our team to find out if they're able to access support, which the majority of working parents are, and what the right form of support is. So it's piecing those two things together. But first off, we need to see that significant financial investment funneling directly into the childcare sector.
Yeah. And who are you lobbying? Do you not get the feeling you're shouting into an empty room?
I would say that actually, Frank, over the last number of years, we're working very closely with political parties and with the Department of Education. And we think there's been a real sea change. There's a recognition that childcare is essential. It's essential for families, but it's also essential for our economy. So that's something that is positive. And work is ongoing on a new early learning and childcare strategy. What we need to see,
But none of it can happen without an executive
to deliver that. Well, exactly, and that's the point that we're making.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't look like as if, but you know, let's talk about being able to pay the bills now. It doesn't look like as if we're going to have an executive, you know, for months, maybe for years, maybe never.
And that's why we've got to see, actually, we've got to see an executive in place sooner than that. We've got to see this recognised as an urgent issue, and there are many others that will be affecting people right across Northern Ireland. These are the issues that matter to the parents who are calling us day and daily, to the childcare providers, to employers. So these are the things that need to be recognised as a priority, and we need to see an executive back in place as soon as possible,
yes,
getting this money rolled out where it needs to be going.
Yes, but, you know, the evidence is to this moment in time that there is not going to be an executive. I don't see anything to suggest that we're going to have an executive anytime soon, or maybe ever. So where do you go then with it? Do you think the Tory government's going to listen to you about childcare in Northern Ireland?
So it's something that we do. We lobby at Westminster as well. And in the past, we've been successful actually in getting an extension to the closure of the childcare voucher scheme. So it's something that we know there's a letter going to the Chancellor ahead of the upcoming budget, urging for things like amendments to existing financial support schemes to make them more, to give more support into the pockets of the families who need it. So there are absolutely things that we can be doing, but we can't let that take the pressure off locally getting an executive re-established, because childcare is a devolved matter, and that's where we need to see the ambitious funding flowing from.
So should the DUP feel guilty then, considering what you were saying this morning?
What I would say is we want to see every party, and we've heard from every party that they do support investment in our childcare infrastructure. So we're keen to see every party working around the table and putting a focus on the issues that really matter to families and to our economy.
Yes, but obviously there are more important things to the DUP than childcare. That's proven. There's more important things in the entire country than to the DUP. So they have something in their agenda vis-a-vis the protocol and the winter framework, which is more important than anything else. So they're not going to return to government. There's no evidence that they are going to return to government. So you are, as I say, shouting into the empty room. Even though the DUP may agree with you, they're not going to help you achieve what you're trying to get.
What I could do is comment on what a priority is for any political party, of course. What I can say is that we will continue to use our voice. And while it may feel at times like, you know, we're shouting into the wind, actually, we're very hopeful that because of all the work that's happening, the voices of parents, childcare providers and employers has been really amplified over the last number of years. So we are hopeful and we will continue to work to make sure that this priority issue is recognised, and that when we see an executive back in place, this is a day one priority for them.
Well, when we see an executive back in place, and that is the million-dollar question, Aoife. I have no doubt that your voice is loud. I just wonder, is it being aimed in the right direction, or do you get a sense of frustration with the loudness of your voice not delivering? Because we've had this conversation so many times over the last 5 years or so. So there is a suggestion that even with an executive, they can't deliver it.
It's something actually right across the UK. We've seen a lot of pressure being put on the UK government as well. So even in other parts of the UK, there are real issues there with investment and support in childcare. So it's actually on an international basis, the UK is falling far behind, other OECD countries. So it is something that we're committed to raising at every level, and we will continue to do so.
Okay. Aoife, I really appreciate your time. Thank you. Aoife Hamilton, Employers for Childcare. I wonder how much of a priority is it actually to political parties? You know, it's a bit of a vote winner if you say, oh yes, all on for better childcare facilities. But they never seem to actually deliver them, whether they're in government or not. Let me speak to Conaí Egan, who is with the Alliance Party. Conaí Egan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Is it a priority? Of course you're going to say it's a priority for the Alliance Party. The Ulster Unionists would say the same, SDLP would say the same, but none of them's really taken it any further than where we've been for years. I've had this conversation with the likes of Aoife Hamilton, you know, year on year.
Yes, a childcare strategy is long overdue from the executive. It's something that Alliance have been calling for and doing everything they can to try and achieve. My predecessor in this role, Chris Little, MLA, was our education spokesperson and chair of the Education Committee. He used every opportunity he could to call for a childcare strategy and recognised that providers needed a sustainable and well-paid job, but also that our parents needed this vital infrastructure to ensure they could go to work.
So your constituents, the people in your area, what are they saying to you about childcare? Are they considering stopping work because it's not worth their time?
A lot of families and parents in my constituents tell me that they pay far more than their childcare costs than they do on their mortgage, which is a huge impact financially on them. We also see that this mainly affects women getting back into the workplace following maternity leave. The costs of childcare are prohibitive to women getting back into the workplace and progressing with their careers. We really need to see a childcare strategy. I met with the Department of Education last week, who told me work was ongoing, and they have costed options to put forward to an executive that should be ready soon, but we don't have an executive to put it forward to, which in this context, along with all the other issues in our society, is unforgivable.
Yes, but we've touched on that, whether it's forgivable or unforgivable, or whether you have more important things on your agenda, as the DUP would argue they have. However, when in government, I know I'm repeating myself here, but when in government it wasn't delivered. So where's the guarantee that if we had an executive back next month that this strategy would come to fruition?
Well, a childcare strategy, a childcare and early education strategy has been a new decade, new approach, commitment. It's something all parties have signed up to, and it's something that all parties do support. We have seen significant work being done by the Department of Education in conjunction with other departments and organisations like Employers for Childcare, who you were speaking to earlier. They have done significant work and can put policy proposals forward that are costed for an executive to sign off on, but we just don't have an executive.
Okay, Conor Egan, thank you very much. I want to speak to Professor Deirdre Hagan, Conor Egan with the Alliance Party. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Now, the government, we've heard from two contributors there that it's almost ready to be signed off on. And I've heard this time and again down through the years about a childcare strategy that's never been delivered in Northern Ireland. And we can say, yes, it's not being delivered at the moment because we don't have an executive. Would you be confident if we did have an executive that it would be delivered?
No, I would not. And I think anyone listening would not. And I think people listening, families listening, will be deeply frustrated by the conversations we've heard today. As you say, we've been here before. I feel like we've been here for two decades. When my children were young, I had three children under five, and I was paying more than a mortgage for childcare. Now, I was in a fortunate position that I could make that choice. But if we look around in Northern Ireland and we say, why are we the poorest region? What can we do to transform this region? Then there are key drivers in terms of social policy. And one of them, indeed many would argue possibly the first one, is affordable, accessible childcare so that people can have choice in terms of the role that parents want to play in the economy. We have the highest levels in the UK of economic inactivity. So that's people who are not working, who are not in employment, who are not in training, because for them it's simply not possible. Well, those people aren't working in paid employment, and those people aren't then contributing to the taxation system, and those people are perhaps very frustrated because they want to be working.
Do you get a sense of, you talk about frustration, is there a sense of rivalry almost among parents? And there's angst that some parents see certain people getting an advantage over other people, and they also see the tariffs within the childcare structure as being very high. Aoife Hamilton from Employers for Childcare said, told me that parents tend to understand why the tariffs are so high in the creches and so on and so forth. But they're incredibly expensive, aren't they?
They are incredibly expensive, but that's because it's a highly regulated industry and so many members of staff must be there according to the numbers of children. And if it's young children, in some cases, it's almost one-on-one support. That is expensive, and of course insurance and running organisations like that is expensive. But also across Northern Ireland there's a postcode lottery. So you may well be able to access childcare in Belfast or Derry. Whether it's affordable or not is a different question. But if you and I are both from South Down, if you're living in rural South Down and you want to access childcare, then that's an entirely different proposition. And that's where people have to decide, do I drive my children to my workplace? Is that safe? Do I want to do that? Or am I going to go back to that old story of relying on grandparents? As has rightly been said, this was mentioned in New Decade, New Approach. We were told that there would be the tantalising idea of accessible childcare. We've had a draft childcare strategy since 2015, but in terms of policy, we don't seem able to look forward and say, how can we invest in the economy? Yes, it's spending money, but it will free people up to be part of the economic drive to change this place. Stop-start devolution hasn't helped, so it's difficult, and I accept that. It's difficult to plan for the future when government's up and government's down And people are saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to be here in 12 months' time or not. So I think there are issues that should be taken outside of the political cycle because they are fundamental to society, and that is healthcare and indeed childcare.
Is there the money for it, considering you mentioned health and we need every penny we can get for health and indeed for education as well? Is there the money to help working parents?
Well, I always think this is an interesting argument when people talk about the government having no money and we have to balance the books and there is no magic money tree and we're in a period of austerity. These are all political choices and must be understood as political choices. So, for example, in Finland, when they decided that they would fund accessible childcare, that was a political decision because they wanted the citizens to have choice, to be able to go out and work, to go back to education. And it is a political choice here that the state have decided to divest themselves of any role in terms of providing accessible, affordable childcare. And what that really means is then there is a gender issue because many women who want to return to the workforce find that they can't. And they're finding that the idea of starting a family, they're putting it off because they simply can't afford to leave the work that they're in. So I think there is enough money. I think it's about prioritising childcare. I think part of the reason it hasn't been prioritised is because it is a gendered issue. We still live in a world where women are expected to be the primary carers. They will carry the major burden of organising childcare and going flexible in their work as opposed to the other person in the relationship. So I think, you know, there are many issues here, but to say we can't afford it, well, we can afford what we think is a priority, and we have never seen our childcare in Northern Ireland as a priority, and I think that is part of the problem.
Well, previous executives have failed to deliver it. We don't have an executive at this present minute in time. If the executive did return, you're not very hopeful that it would be a priority. And if the executive doesn't return and we have some form of intervention from London long term, would the Tories, would Labour, would the government across the water be giving it any consideration?
Well, you would hope that they would, because in other areas of policy, what we have seen is the pandemic has accelerated change, and in other policy areas has become a catalyst for people realising the difficulties that were always there in plain sight. So perhaps after post-pandemic, when we're looking at policy making, there will be some acceptance that the UK has the worst levels of accessible childcare in the EU, and Northern Ireland is possibly the worst region in terms of price and accessibility in the UK. And we simply can't talk about economic regeneration, prosperity, turning this place around 25 years after the Good Friday Agreement, if we can't really say half the population or up to half the population cannot be economically active in the way that they want to be because we don't have accessible childcare.
It's very clear the arguments that you're making, that Aoife Hamilton was bringing forward, and indeed Connie Egan's points as well. Appreciate all three of you coming on the programme this morning, but those prices are going up probably by 10%, minimum of 10%, as and from April.
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.